Titus chapter 2, book of Titus chapter 2, should have a handout by now, so you can still turn your Bible to Titus. Titus chapter 2. And so, today we're going to look at verses 1 through 4a, half verse 4. We'll read all verse 4, but anyway, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So let's read this together in unison. Here we go. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be behavior becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their children, husbands, to love their children. Father, we pray you bless this time now. We thank you for the Word of God, the opportunity to go through the Scriptures on a regular basis, and the freedom that we have here. We pray that you continue to give us the freedom. Pray that you'll use the Word of God, to speak to hearts and deal with all of us. Help us to conform to Scripture, be in the image of Christ as we consider the Scriptures. Bless us now, we ask, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so once again, we're seeing that Paul and Titus have visited the Isle of Crete. And the Isle of Crete, there were individuals who came from Crete to the Jerusalem on the day of the Pentecost, and some were saved, went back there, no doubt planted churches. This would be some 30 years earlier. And then Paul, again, him and Titus went back to the island of Crete, and no doubt they planted churches. So these are some of the newer churches that needed now direction here. And of course, older churches need the same direction and so on. So Paul and Titus were there. He left Titus at Crete, so that means Paul was there as well. So we see that in 1:5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. So this really becomes the theme of the book, to set in order and ordain elders. So set in order is a bigger picture. Set in, and then ordain elders is a sub-point, we might say, of all this. So he wanted Titus to put in order the churches there that were new churches, especially with regard to doctrine of the church, regard to family, and regard to society. So these are three main points of the outline in the book here. Chapter 1 deals with church, chapter 2 deals with family, chapter 3 deals with society, basically. So those are the three points here overall of the book. So it gives us an idea. So we study these books. So the book of Titus is easy, three-point outline. Put in order church, put in order family, put in order church members relative to society. All right. So we've got a basic outline. We're starting to master the book. So you want to know about these areas, look to Titus. Titus will help you understand that. And so we have general idea, general outline. This is the flow of the book. Now, I make my own headings and designations, so on and so forth, but I try to follow the flow of the book. I do this for my own benefit. I've said this before numerous times, but I try to come up with my own headings so I have an idea what's going on in the passage and how can I express this in other words. So that's really what preaching and teaching is, that we're expressing God's truth in other words. Otherwise, all teaching and all preaching would just be reading Bible words. So we're to expound the Bible words and rightly divide and so on. So there's a place for that. So that benefits me. That's what I try to do here. I try to give you the outline on this and so on. And some parallelisms. Parallelisms are good because we see parallel ideas. So much of Scripture is written in a parallel form. So we can see contrast or emphasis. That's true in the Old Testament, true in the New Testament. And so the Lord wants us to learn the Word of God. and understand the flow of the scriptures and be able to rightly divide the scriptures and so on. So that's what we're attempting to do here. In the premise here, Paul wanted Titus to set in order the things that are wanting and ordain the leadership, the elders there. Within the book here, families within the church need to grow and help. So that's obviously true. So we've got, in a local church, we have leadership. We have people, church members. Church members need to realize how they are to behave as Christians in church and outside of church, how they are to behave as Christians. And in this behavior, part of the behavior is to grow in the Word of God. And part of the behavior is to help one another. Amen. So that's the simple plan. We could say, if you have that, we can go home now. However, we want to let the Scripture speak to us and tell us these things. So we're emphasizing all this. Let the Word of God speak. So we see the point here in chapter 2, 1 through 15, Christ and order in the family. So first of all, we notice here the in verse 1. So the practice of sound doctrine, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So he's speaking to Titus. So notice this, several simple points here. The responsibility falls on you, a singular in this case. Speak thou, that's on Titus. He's the pastor. He's the representative of Paul, pastoral representative of Paul. So he's the pastor. He is to set in order and help these churches. So it falls on the pastor. But speak thou, we notice there. So there's a responsibility. Who has a responsibility here? That's the pastor. Pastor is to teach the Word of God, teach the doctrine, teach the Bible. It's our responsibility. Falls on Titus in this case. Likewise, when we were over there in 1 Timothy, and 2 Timothy, it fell on Timothy. He had a responsibility over the church. So then, responsibility, secondly, the relevance. He says, speak thou the things which become. So the word behind become here, treple, it's used seven times in the New Testament, but it has to do with something that's fitting or appropriate. Fitting or appropriate. Become is a good translation of it. Speak the things that become are appropriate or fitting. In other words, what's the purpose of the Scriptures? The purpose of the Scriptures is the Word of God, is God's doctrine for practice, for doctrine and practice, which is teaching there. So there's a relevance. See, there's a relevance of the Bible to our lives. It's timeless truths. So we have a relevance. God is giving us the mind of Christ here. We need, as Christians, to think like Christ. Amen, right. The devil knows that, so he wants us to think like the world. So he already had us before we were saved. We were thinking like the world. Worldly thinking, carnal thinking, philosophical thinking, like the world. When we get converted, we need to have a change of mind. We start throwing out the old pagan ideas that we had, that the world just gave us, and we now start growing with our mind, developing the mind of Christ, because as we think, that's as we behave. So we behave like we think. We think impacts our behavior. We think truth, then we'll behave in a truthful way. We think evil things, we'll behave in an evil way. So the relevance that he's talking about here has to do with that which become sound doctrine. So what's fitting? Fitting for the Christian is sound doctrine. That's what's fitting. So we've been bombarded by this world. We need to throw out all that and think like a Christian. The things that are, which become sound doctrine. So that means we need to know sound doctrine. What's biblical? What's sound doctrine? So point C here now is not only the responsibility, the relevance, but the result. Speak, so we have present singular imperative. It's an imperative given to Titus. Imperative is a command. It's present tense, so the command is keep speaking these things. Keep doing it. Who has a responsibility? Titus does. Who has a responsibility? The pastor does. Keep doing these things. Don't just do that once. Keep doing it. And so, once we go through all the books of the Bible, we don't say, all right, we don't have to deal with the Bible anymore. Let's talk about other things. No, we just start back right back over and go back over it again. I mentioned to the men that preach here in our church and even to those in the Titus program, don't feel you cannot preach on some passage that's already been dealt with. Amen. I mean, go ahead and use the passage that's been dealt with and bring out your perspective. No, not contrary to doctrine, but bring out yourself as you look at this, the application and so on. So, hope the men do that, realize that. And we could all have our sermons on John 3:16 and come out with different perspectives on that. Not so much the doctrine, but the application and so on. So, you follow that? So, anyway, he goes on to say, present singular imperative, speak, sound. So the word behind sound is the word from which we get hygienic or healthy. Healthy words. Words that are healthy, obviously, spiritual health, as well as that could impact physical health as well. But we are to be involved in sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, hygienic doctrine, good doctrine for our growth. And then doctrine, he says. Sound doctrine. Doesn't say sound stories. Sound doctrine. All right? So we're to be involved in doctrinal teaching. Doctrine. Devils know doctrine. They have doctrine to offer. Devils don't have stories to offer. They have doctrine to offer. Demons have that. So we're to speak sound doctrine. Now, there's a place for illustrations and stories and so on. I realize that, but that's not just one continuous presentation here. It has to be doctrine with purpose and illustrations or whatever. All right, so there's the practice of sound doctrine. the pastor is to be involved in the practice of sound doctrine. He is to teach it. He obviously is to practice it. All right, point number two, this will take us in verses 2 through 4a. Now, first of all, you will notice a chiasm, chiastic structure of all places. So notice here, he's talking about the aged men, verse 2. The aged women, verse 3. Then the young women, 4a, and then finally in 6, the young men. So we have A, B, B prime, A prime. All right, got that in your mind? So who's writing this? Well, Paul the Jew. Paul knew about this. So anyway, here we see his structure there. So you don't want to miss the structure there, but anyway, he gives this to us. Now, first of all, he talks about the aged men. So aged men and aged women. So aged men be presbyteroi. And that's the same word that's used for elders. But he's not talking about aged men or aged men or aged women as if these are the pastors and the pastor's wives necessarily, or the co-pastors, some churches. He's just talking about older saints, the senior saints. Although aged man is the same Greek word behind a bishop, or rather a presbyter, or an elder. Okay, so let's look at this now. So, sound doctrine concerning the elderly. there is a place for the elderly in the local church. The elderly are to be involved. The elderly are to demonstrate that they've finally grown up. Finally grown up. And they have some physical years on their belt. Now we think of several in the Bible. I want to turn there to Caleb. So here Caleb was an elderly man. Joshua chapter 14. So although you may think in the secular world, when you reach a certain age, you want to retire from secular work. There's nothing wrong with that. But in Christian work, really, there's no retirement. We want to work till the very end and be found serving the Lord when he comes back or when we die. So we have the example in the Old Testament of Caleb. So we can pick this up in 14:8. Notice Caleb says there, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made my heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So notice here, Caleb, years before, he didn't allow the 10 spies to get him off track and undermine his faith. So notice he says, I wholly followed the Lord my God. So here's a message for us, that especially for the younger. It's good to make good biblical scriptural decisions when you are young, so you'll see the fruit of that and blessings later in life. And so you young people need to think that, keep that in mind. You make good decisions early on, and now he's reaping the consequences of good decisions late in his life. And by the way, you, if you're as a young person or wherever you are, if you are in God's will today, this guarantees a good chance you'll be in God's will tomorrow. Amen. But if you're not in God's will today, what guarantees you'll be in the Lord's will at any time? And so we want to be in the Lord's will every day. So anyway, here we see he says, "I wholly followed the Lord." He was involved here. And again, he mentions that in verse 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Here, Moses indicated that. And then down there in verse 14, the expression comes up again by Joshua, the Lord says, because he wholly followed the Lord. So we need to wholly follow the Lord in our lives. We're Christians first. We're believers first. But notice here, he says in verse tail end of verse 10, says, "And now I am this day 85 years old, 85 years of age." He still hasn't retired from service. 85, can you imagine that? And he goes on to say that the Lord, he had strength, the Lord gave to him, no doubt. And now he tells Moses, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof this Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how thou the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." So notice here, he's 85 years of age. There's giants. They have great cities, and they're fenced. So think of the obstacles, and yet he overcame these obstacles at that age. He was a mature man. He grew in faith. And as he grew in faith, he got stronger and stronger and stronger through life. So when the challenges come to us currently in 2022, if the Lord doesn't come back and we live another 50 years, he expects us to overcome the challenges that come in our life now. So 50 years down the road, we'll still be overcomers and much stronger than we were now. So I look back on some of the challenges I had early in my Christian life, and I look back now and say, boy, those are I must have tiny faith, because I was able to hardly move forward, but I wish those easy little challenges there would be my challenges today, but they're not. But see, that's the way you think when you grow in faith. All those challenges in the past, at that time, because I had little faith, they were challenges. But I look back on that, these are really nothing. these are really nothing compared to what I may be facing today. Follow that? So we grow in faith. And this is what Caleb did, and so the Lord blessed him. So here's an elderly individual. We have an age given to him, and yet he's still serving the Lord there. Likewise, Paul says there in Philemon. So Philemon comes right after Titus. And he stated there in 1:9, Philemon 1:9 here. So this is, he's writing Philemon about A.D. 60 or 61, so I imagine Paul was in his 60s at the time. He says there in 1:9, "Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So when he was in his 60s, he was in his first Roman imprisonment. In the 60s. He's prisoned as a servant of the Lord. And so here we have an idea of aged. So 60 to 85, getting a kind of a range here. These are when we really get going for the Lord. Think of that. Because we've got maturity. We've got experiences. We can grow in the Lord. We've grown in the Lord. And we can really take on some of the heavy battles now. Rather than saying, "Oh, I'm tired of all the battles, I'm just giving up." No, we don't give up. We grow. So this is like talking about the aged men in the assembly. Or the elderly men, as I put it there. So let's now look in verses 1 and 2. And he gives several challenges to them. Verse 2. "That the aged men be sober." Aged men be sober here. So this has to do with being clear-headed. It has to do with the head, the mind, being clear-headed. Sober, found three times here. So they need men to be clear-headed. Now, it's not necessarily meaning sober from alcoholic drink, per se, but just meaning being clear-headed. So older people, as they grow in the Lord, they develop an experience in life, but they also develop an understanding of what's going on in the world through the experiences, and they can have be more clear-headed and see. I've been down this road already, and I know what happens if I go that way or that way. I've had the experience, so I can be clear-headed. And so the Lord wants us to be clear-headed as we grow on the Lord and realize there is an attack. There's a false agenda out there. Satan has another plan and presentation for the world that's not true and so on. So we learn from experience, truth, and going through the difficulties so we become clear-headed. We need clear-headed people in the church, and so we can all work on that. Even the young people can work on that, but certainly the older men need to be clear-headed. Secondly, they need to be grave. This word found four times, semnos, grave. Similar to sober, but maybe more of the idea of honest and have a honest perspective of life here. And then temperate shows up here as well. Temperate. Safran, found four times here. Temperate has to do with self-control. So we learn to discipline our bodies and have in our minds with self-control. We grow in self-control and in temperance. And we learn to control the thoughts and actions of our body to become more Christ-like. We need the self-control, become temperate. We grow in these things. So the Lord challenges through Paul here for the men, temperate. Then he goes on to say, they need to be sound. They need to be hygienic. Sound in three areas that he gives here. Need to be sound. He says sound in the faith. In the faith. Now, he's talking about the doctrine of Scripture in this case, not believing faith. So remember, pistos can either refer to the faith of belief or can refer to the Scripture, the believer's faith. For instance, I mentioned Jude 1:3 there. There's the same language. And the the word faith here, and the Greek word, pistos, has an article in front of it. So it means in the faith. But Jude chapter 1, he says, behold, when I gave, 1:3, when I gave all diligence to write unto thee of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is the doctrinal faith. This is the word of God, the faith. I'm not talking about earnestly contend for your believing faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. My believing faith hasn't been delivered to the saints. I'm talking about the word of God in this case. So faith can mean either believing faith or it can mean doctrinal faith. In this case, it's doctrinal faith. Likewise, Paul's saying here as well, being sound in the faith. So you think of this, for instance, as a Christian, and you go to church regularly, and you hear the word of God taught, and doctrine taught, and so you grow, and so you grow. If you've been in the Lord 20 years, this means that you've heard the word of God, preached and taught, and you've grown this much in a life of growing in the word of God. So you ought to be strong in the faith, strong in the Bible. Know some things about the Bible. That's what we're trying to do here. So what's the threefold outline of the book of Titus? That's to do with church, family, and society, right? You already have that under your belt. So as you hear the word of God, you grow in it. You became acquainted with it. You know where certain passages are, certain expressions are. You know what these books generally are about and so on. And some of this you can just tout off the top of your head because you are grown in the faith. And you are able to defend the faith as well. Defend it. If somebody says something that's contrary to the word of God, you can say, well, I may not know exactly where the verse is, but I know this is contrary to Scripture. And we're not necessarily walking encyclopedias of the Bible, but we do have an understanding of the word of God, so we can express this and know when something is biblical in the phraseology and not biblical in the phraseology. So in the faith, faith once delivered unto the saints. So it means being in the word of God, the word of faith. Then in charity, he says in charity. Here's our word agape. Notice the article there, te agape. Once again, in love, this in this case. So I cite there 1 Corinthians 13. So as we grow in the Christian life, we ought to be growing in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Think of that. So, this has to do with charity or love. Paul talks about this. Let's pick up in verse 4. Charity suffereth long. See, so our love for others. Charity covers a multitude of sins. This is what Peter said there in 1 Peter chapter 4. But here, charity suffereth long. We overlook the little infractions of others and so on. And we suffer. All right, here's a young person not behaving quite like they ought to be. And so maybe there's an offense here, but we kind of look over that at times. All right. So charity suffered long and is kind. So here's where biblical kindness comes in. Kindness in this world comes only from the Lord through the believer. It doesn't come in the natural realm. We can put signs up in a yard all along saying, be kind, be kind, be kind. That's not going to affect our society. I'll be kind until it gets in the way of me. So anyway, be kind, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. See, so with charity, we're not proud, we're not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So notice this parallelism. Charity rejoices in the truth. So the only love in this world is love based on truth. The world doesn't know that. So the world says, be kind, love everybody, love anything, love, love, love. The world's all about love, love, love. Well, it's not about loving error, it's loving truth. And so, anyway, Paul challenged the elderly here. So it's time to grow up in the Word of God. It's time to grow up in love, biblical love, and grow up in patience. Grow up in patience. So here our word, te hupomane, which means to abide under. Actually, it means abide under. So we abide under the situation. We grow in patience. That's what patience means. We're abiding under the situation. And Paul talks about patience there, 2 Timothy 3:10. But the believer needs to have patience. So we're waiting for the Lord to do something, but in the meantime, we're abiding under His will for Him to answer prayer for us or for others. We abide under. And aged people ought to have some experience under their belt in these areas. So we're growing in these areas. We're growing. See, we're in the classroom of Christianity. That's what life is. So in the classroom of Christianity, the Lord wants us all to move to the next grade level. Don't want any of us to flunk. And so we've got to move along. And so how does He do that? He sends the challenges so that we can overcome the challenges and then move forward in our Christian life. He does that. And so here we find elderly men. Elderly men ought to act elderly. They ought to have some dignity. They ought to act grown up and so on. So they need to get rid of their inner child, you know, and behave not like a little boy, but like a grown man. So I'm working on these things as well. So we all work on them. My wife helps me in these areas, so time to grow up. Could act like a child. All right, so anyway, we're moving on. So elderly men, but now elderly women. Elderly women. So this is instruction given to local churches here. So the local churches on the island of Crete there would have men, they'd have women, older, younger, children, and so the whole assembly has to be dealt with. So he's giving this practical advice, biblical advice. So the aged woman, this is also the feminine form for presbyteros, presbytere, and but this is not talking about women elders as such as the office. Just talking about older women in the assembly. Now, with regard to the men. We talked about older. We have an age for Caleb. We have an approximate age for Paul. So for the aged women, I know women are asking this. So we can look over there in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And there he's giving advice to the widows. And here he says in 5:9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. So that's 60. So a true widow could not be taken into the number for widows that were under 60. So that means 60 and older would be for the widows. 60 or under 60 would be for the younger women. So here Paul's saying younger women are 59 and younger. I mean, see, so Paul's not a woman hater. I mean, he, for sure. So you keep that in mind there. And he goes on to say, verse 11, but the younger women, widows refuse, and when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. So he's indicating there's some younger women who will turn from the Lord. And they'll turn from the Lord. He also indicates that they may marry. So that means they might marry. They remember they're a widow, but may marry. Verse 14, he says, I will therefore that younger women marry, who's that, under 60, bear children, well, there's a verse, and guide the house and so on. So anyway, we get an idea of younger women and older women, younger men, older men, and the assembly. So it gives us a general idea here, but the bigger point here is, it's not at a certain age on my 60th birthday or my 85th birthday, all of a sudden I'm going to grow up. Hopefully you've been growing up before you get to this. All right, and you grow up in sound doctrine. That's the medicine you need. That's the vitamins you need, the sound doctrine. You grow up in that. So notice now he talks about them. So he says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. So here he talks about behavior or deportment, how they carry themselves and their behavior. And this would be, I believe, in contrast to the silly women that Paul talked about over there in 2 Timothy 3:6. So he's not saying all women are silly. He's just saying those with a little soul are immature women. Immature women who would not be growing in doctrine and probably still involved in immorality and so on, or carnality. That's what he's talking about, 3:6 there. Lead captive silly women. So here he's talking about behavior of the women. They behave like mature women. There's a maturity there and grow in this. Now, in this, Paul had also talked about in Ephesians chapter 5, talked about the men and the women. Certainly, this would be the product of a Christian life here. Product of maturity. Ephesians chapter 5, there he indicates the spirit-filled men and women in the assembly need to submit themselves. Verse 5:22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. So this is what Christian women are to do. They submit themselves, and as they do this, they grow. And as they do this, they put themselves in a place where they can see the Lord's blessing on their hand, on their lives, and so on. Husbands are to love their wives. So the idea when husbands and wives are spirit-filled and do the Lord's will, then they can see how the Lord works in their family. So, you know, in this case, wives, mothers, care about your children. You want your children to submit to the Lord? Well, let them see you do that in your life. Likewise with fathers and so on. So anyway, he's talking about the women, the aged women, likewise that they be in behavior as becometh. So here's the word becometh showing up again, becometh holiness. So this is appropriate reverence, you might say. So becometh, we saw that back in verse 1, become, or appropriateness, become sound doctrine. Here, becometh holiness. And so there needs to be this appropriate reverence that mature women begin to develop as they develop this appropriate reverence to their husbands and to the local church and within the local church and so on. This is the growth that comes here, growth that's expected there. He goes on to say, not false accusers. So here's a word, diabolus. I mentioned that in Sunday school. Diabolus is usually translated devil. But he doesn't use the word here, but he does use the word or expression false accusers. Diabolus found 38 times, usually it's translated devil. But this really means slander, those who would slander. So the challenge is not false accusers. So women are not to slander. They... not to be involved in evil surmising and assuming things, usually, or especially about maybe other women. And so here's the instruction that Paul gives here. So women grow up. They understand these things. They've been through some experiences of life. They're now older. They realize their behavior needs to become with holiness. They need to not be slanderers or false accusers. Then he goes on to say, not given to much wine. So here, given to much wine. Doulao is the word, means not given, or given, but not given, negated. Not enslaved to much wine. So the perfect tense means not to be an alcoholic, not to be a wino. Now, why is he saying this? Well, he's already said this to the pastors and the deacons, which would be standard for all men. But he's also saying this to the women because of the background. The background of the pagan world was everybody was alcoholic. Everybody drank, was immoral, lived godless lives. I mean, that's the world. That's the world. Fallen man at his best is when he's at his worst. And at his worst, he is involved in every possible sin there is. And so here are women coming out of the unsaved world. And perfect tense indicates that they had been, still are, unless this comes to an end, not given to much wine. It says, don't be winos, alcoholics, and so on. And then he goes on. Well, and I mentioned there, Ephesians 5:18, so be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. So the nature of alcohol is an excess. It's an addiction. So the one drink or the 20th drink, it doesn't matter. The nature of it is excess. You need to avoid that. You avoid the first drink and you'll avoid the last drink. So that's Paul's point. And that's the idea here of much wine. How do you avoid having much wine? How do you avoid being a wino? Don't take the first drink. That's how you avoid it. So this is the terminology. This is the phraseology. He's not saying you can drink a little bit while you're, you know, counseling younger women, but don't drink a whole lot. Not saying that at all. Saying that at all. So then he goes on to say there are to be teachers. So at this point, I take this into 4A, that they may teach young women. So here teaching young women. So in this point, they're to teach good things, first of all. Teach good things. The good things. Now, Peter brings out this as well. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here Peter's talking about wives who have unsaved husbands. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So wives are to be in subjection to their husbands. Now, in this context, it may be when a woman gets saved, she's still married to an unsaved man. Nevertheless, she still needs to be in subjection to him. And in doing this, she may be by her submission, godly submission to him, be able to win him to the Lord. Now think of this for Christian women. Be thankful, Christian women, that you've got a Christian husband. And be thankful, Christian women, that if you do have a Christian husband, it's far better than having a non-Christian husband and you have to be in submission to him. But in either case, you need to be in submission to your husband. What the Bible teaches here. Now, so here are some good things that women can teach other women. And so the godly women might be saying, yes, I remember when I first got saved and my husband wasn't. I was in submission and eventually got saved. Now, young wife here, you've come out of paganism. Your husband's not saved. I can give you some godly counsel here. See, so elderly women can give godly counsel. And they want to do that. The good things, and good is defined by the Word of God. So it's the good things of the Word of God. And then he goes on to talk about in 4a that they may teach younger young women. And so we'll talk about what they teach the younger women next time. But elderly women who have some experience under their belt and so on can teach the younger women about many, many different things. How to cook, how to dress, how to be faithful to the Lord, how to submit to the husband, whether Christian or unchristian, non-Christian, how to raise their children. All these things come up in this and so on. And so there's a place for women teaching women in the assembly. And this is great value. So the women can have a ministry to other women, and the younger women, we'll talk about this as well, the younger women can go to the elderly women and say, help me with this or this or this. I mean, any aspect of life. I mean, so teachers need those who want to be taught. And so it works both ways. But here we find Paul's talking about the churches there on the island of Crete. And now Titus has to come forward here and teach sound doctrine. And sound doctrine deals with dealing with elderly men, elderly women, younger women, and younger men in the assembly, so that the assembly will be a strong, sound doctrine type of church, be a solid church. All right, so in conclusion then, we have every member in the church is important. So keep that in mind, from the youngest to the oldest, or the oldest to the youngest. So we don't want to despise elderly people and so on, or very young people. Every member is important. And the Lord adds to the assembly those that as it pleases him. And needs to grow spiritually. Every member needs to grow spiritually and to help others. So if we have any experience in life, we can help others without coming across as a know-it-all. I mean, there's a careful area here. There's a humility of teaching and not being a know-it-all, but one who can give biblical teaching here. Others in spiritual and family responsibilities. So there's a place for this. So anyway, all churches need this. Certainly the churches on the island of Crete needed this, that had all these sinners getting converted, sinners who, as Paul said there, were always liars, and evil beasts, and slow bellies. So he's citing Epimenides, who was a Cretan, and his whole world was on the island of Crete. He didn't know how anybody else ever lived around the world. But what he says about the island of Crete is true about mankind in general. And so here is instruction given to a man to deal with a local church. And so our local church is no different from those churches on the island of Crete. We need sound doctrine. We need, with older men and women, younger men and women, we need everybody to grow and help one another in the assembly, be stronger in the doctrine of the faith. Our Father, we pray you bless us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the time to open this book, learn from Paul through Titus about proper behavior in the local church. We pray that you bless us and help us put to practice these things if they're found wanting in our lives, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.